Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Purport, page 16, in the middle. The word Mahatma refers to those who are broad-minded, not cripple-minded. Cripple-minded persons, always engaged in satisfying their senses, sometimes expend their activities in order to do good for others through some ism like nationalism, humanitarianism, or altruism. They may reject personal sense gratification for the sense gratification of others, like the members of their family, community, or society, either national or international. Actually, all this is extended sense gratification from personal to communal to social. This may all be very good from the material point of view, but such activities have no spiritual value. The basis of such activity is sense gratification, either personal or extended. Only when a person gratifies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called a Mahatma, or broad-minded person. So all these very nice things, like Prabhupada lists here, different isms, they sound very nice. They are usually popular among people because they have these two elements of Supreme and selfless work. But if they are not connected to Krishna, they are. I like very much this sentence here. This may all be very good from the material point of view, but such activities have no spiritual value. Even doctrines like nationalism, they also have an idea of the Supreme. It's also kind of religion, because the Supreme there is the country, the state, the people, and of course the selfless work. Is sacrificing oneself for this cause. And what is the difference between all these followers of these isms and the Mahatmas?
Their life is based on sense gratification.
The first one, yes, extended or narrow. And the Mahatmas, they include Krishna in the picture. Only when a person gratifies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called a Mahatma, a broad-minded person, and not cripple-minded person. So in the material world, everybody must work to maintain his body. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita and also in this purport. The question then is, how should we work if the work is inevitable and cannot be avoided? The question is, how we should work in a way that simultaneously we take care of our material needs and we don't get entangled, and at the end we attain the shelter of the spiritual energy.
We should work for the benefit of the Supreme Lord.
For his pleasure.
Yes.
Yes, very good. In Bhagavatam, this is confirmed in the first canto. There it is stated, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. This is 1-9. They should never be performed for material gain. So our only business should be spiritual business. Or in other words, the human form of life is meant for self-realization, not for something else. It's funny because everywhere in the universe, living entities, practically, if you exclude the hellish planets, everywhere sense gratification is the predominant thing. Even, well, of course, in the heaven, then in the subterranean heavenly planets. So if you exclude the hell and then the regions of the rishis, where there is still some sense gratification, but it's very subtle, on the level of subtle guna. Everywhere in the universe, living entities are engaged in sense gratification, but practically the only place that it is not meant for sense gratification is this earthly planet, planetary systems. So even if someone is very materialistic, but if he's clever, then he will use this place, which is called karma stan, the place of karma. He will use it to accumulate pious activities, and then he will enjoy in his next life. But human form of life, it's just not meant for sense gratification. We cannot enjoy much. Very quickly our senses become very exhausted. And sense objects, we become even disgusted by sense objects. Once we enjoy, then after a few minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, eating how much you can eat, then prasadam is not anymore, well, prasadam is always. Yeah. It is spiritual, but food is not enjoyable anymore. So, if our only business should be spiritual business, then what comes in the way? This is discussed in this verse. Now we will see what are the obstacles. So the first one. Yeah, this was previous verse. Now, second one is called Atyahara, which is translated as eating or collecting more than necessary. So let's read this paragraph. Page 17, at the bottom. The main problem confronting the
first old days, disease and death.
Yeah. Would you like to read? Would you like to read it out? To read?
Oh yeah, this paragraph?
Yeah.
The main problem confronting the conditioned souls is the repetition of birth, old age, disease and death. In the material world, one has to work for the maintenance of the body and soul. But how can one perform such work in a way that is favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness?
So this is the point we just made. We have to work. We are obliged to work, but how to work so that we attain the ultimate goal of life? Okay. Go on. Yeah.
Everyone requires possessions such as food, grains, clothing, money, and other things necessary for the maintenance of the body. But one should not collect more than necessary for his actual basic needs. If this natural principle is followed, there will be no difficulty in maintaining the body. Mm-hmm. According to nature's arrangement, living entities lower on the evolutionary scale do not eat or collect more than necessary. Consequently, in the animal kingdom, there is generally no economic problem or scarcity of necessities. If a bag of rice is placed in a public place, birds will come and eat a few grains and go away. A human being, however, will take away the whole bag. He will eat all his stomach can hold and then try to keep the rest in storage. According to scriptures, this collecting of more than necessary, Ajahara, is prohibited. Now the entire world is suffering because of it.
Thank you. So one should not collect more than necessary for his basic needs. Of course, the basic needs are different for the different classes of society. But if this principle is followed, then practically there will be no problem in the material world, at least from this side. Of course, in the material world, there will be always some problems. And because by Krishna's arrangement, there is enough food for everybody and resources for everybody. This is, we just learned this from Ishupanishad, the invocation mantra, where it says, Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachite. This material world, this creation is perfect and complete. And it functions according to plan, the plan of the Lord. What is the result of Atyahara then? If people don't follow this, what will be the result?
Suffering.
Suffering in the form of one very particular form. It brings a lot of suffering to people.
Hunger. Obesity.
War.
War.
Of course. All what you say is also true. But the main consequence will be that people become competitors. There is a strife, constant strife for controlling the material energy and getting more and more sense gratification out of it. And then there will be war. And war is going on. Actually, the war is the natural state of existence in the material world. We think that the peace is normal, and then sometimes, occasionally, there is a war. But actually, war is going on all the time, on different levels. For example, people, they declare war on the animals. We are, as human beings, we are in constant war against all kinds of eatable animals. There is a war, some people find very they have a need to open war with the embryos inside the womb. But there is another war. It goes underground. And people don't speak so much about this. But if you see the figures, how many people, living entities, die from this, it's really amazing. And also, we have war. If you go Friday night, if you go out in big cities, you'll see human beings walking around with their dressed in their, how do you call this, war
uniform.
Yeah. Well, what's the purpose? Everybody tries to actually to conquer the opposite sex by attracting members of the opposite sex and to exploit them. Therefore, they wear all this nice uniform. And it's another way of fighting, of having war. So war is natural, constant state in the material world. There is interesting quote from Bhagavatam here. 1:16:34. The asuras want to enjoy a life of sense gratification even at the cost of others' happiness. In order to fulfill this ambition, the asuras, especially the atheistic kings or state executive heads, try to equip themselves with all kinds of deadly weapons to bring about a war in a peaceful society. They have no ambition other than personal sense gratification. So now the war with the communism is gone. Now the next war is with terrorism. There should be always some kind of war, because war is profitable. Demons make lots of money out of this. So what is the solution? Again, Ishupanishad, the Ishavasya principle. It was mentioned also in the morning. If we know that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then naturally there won't be this strife and competition for material resources. And Srila Prabhupada have also this practical answer of simple living and high thinking. If we learn this science and art of being satisfied by what comes naturally, then there will be no problem in this regard. And Atyahara leads to, apart from war, leads to something else, the next item.
Amen.
Yeah, also, but in the context of the verse, Atyahara leads to Prayasa. Next one. That means
over-endeavoring.
Yeah. Over-endeavoring for material things. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. That is basic understanding. You can find this everywhere in the books of Prabhupada and Shastra, is that one should be satisfied by whatever comes. This is not only whatever comes in naturally. This is not just a brahminical quality. It's a quality that should be cultivated by everybody in the society. And the idea is that happiness and distress are predestined already. The situation we are going to be put in are already clear. And Shastra gives an example. Distress comes on its own accord. We don't have to work for misery to come. It just comes naturally. In the same way, happiness will come. So better to use our energy, not for improving our material situation. So, but just to develop Krishna consciousness, and then happiness and distress will come naturally. But then our consciousness will be spiritual, and then we will react properly on these situations. Yes.
How is the progression that collecting more funds than required is leading to over-endeavoring more than anything? Because it seems that over-endeavoring comes first.
Well, if,
is it because of the corruption of the mentality?
You can take it both ways. Yeah, if you take it in the sense that you can take Atyahara as the philosophy behind it, the state of consciousness. You take as a main value of your life that you have to enjoy. Doesn't matter how many people around you have to suffer, but you need to accomplish your materialistic goals, and then this will lead to you'll be very active. But you can take it other way around as well, I guess, as you said. Of course, in the extreme of this philosophy is not very easy to follow. We have this example of the Python man from 11th canto. You remember this? The Yadu Maharaj met this Brahmana, Avaduta Brahmana, who was just lying down and not doing anything. And Yadu Maharaj, I believe it was Yadu Maharaj, anyway, he asked politely question, in a very cultured way, but the question was basically, my dear sir, you are lying here, not doing any work, and you look very well fat. So how come you're so fat if you don't do anything? You don't work to acquire any money or anything. And the answer was basically that everything, if you learn to be satisfied by whatever comes naturally, then you'll be very happy and peaceful. I had a friend, devotee friend, and he had a friend who was a Catholic monk, and sometimes we'll just take the car from the temple and we'll go and visit this monastery. It was in Germany, some Benedictine monastery somewhere up in the mountain, a very beautiful place. And this monk there, Brother Tom, he became monk very young. He was in his 20s. And now, when we were visiting him, he was in his late 60s already. So he spent like 4 years in this monastery. He was a special person. He learned Sanskrit inside on his own, and he was reading Bhagavad Gita on Sanskrit, and he liked Mahabharata, Ramayana. He was reading also Buddhist texts like this. He appreciated Krishna consciousness a lot. So we're having interesting conversations. He was, and he said that You see, I spent practically whole my life I spent in this monastery, and everybody that I had to meet in order to grow in my spiritual understanding, everybody came here to meet me. As you also, you came. I didn't go to you. You came here. And so this is the same idea. That whatever will have to come, it will come. We don't have to worry so much. I mean, it's natural that we worry about these things. But it shouldn't be so big disturbance for our minds. Because ultimately, whatever we deserve, we will get. But of course, we are devotees. We'll get even more than we deserve by Krishna's mercy. Yes, Mataji.
On this slightly more funds are necessary. My husband and I have been married for 11 years and we've never had really any money. We've lived on service and we've gotten married. And now we have one children and everything. And my husband has a he feels like he should provide nicely for us. So how do you find that
Well, of course, you have the example of Srivastava Thakur, who just declared that I'm not going to work anymore. And if Krishna provides some food, we'll eat. If Krishna doesn't, then we'll just fast. And then if he doesn't give us money, food tomorrow we'll also fast. And day after tomorrow, if there is no food, I'll just go and drown myself in Ganga. And then Lord Chaitanya said, well, no, don't worry, I'll personally provide for you. Well, what is the balance?
You also don't want to be dependent, like,
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. No, but I also have to maintain myself somehow. So it's the same question, just different circumstances. We all have to face the same things in life. It doesn't matter if you're brahmachari, grihastha. The same questions come. Well, this is even. I guess you have to know what is the extent of your, the range of your needs that you really need, and then if you don't need much, and you can live simple life. Then why should you try to endeavor for more than you require? Basically, keep it as simple as possible so that the mind is not too disturbed and you can function properly. And as vihastas, I guess you have to see also the needs of the children also. So you have to take care of them properly also. If they need little more, then you should provide. But that's true, I cannot give practical. This is just theoretical knowledge about that. Yes.
What was it? I think it was Maharaj that said in a class that we should work so we will provide for our needs and then we should live a little more still than that.
Oh.
Just as always,
Very good point.
We should know what is, the necessity.
What do we require? But is it?
If it is a necessity
because if woman is happy, then everybody at home is happy. This is what we hear. I know also. It's true. When my mom is happy at home, then everything goes very smooth. I want to say something, but I some point I forgot. Okay, is that okay with the? So Prayasha, there is a interesting pastime with Prabhupada about this, because we should not endeavor too much for acquiring material things, but when the question is service of Krishna, then it's okay to endeavor to work hard. Once in Toronto, devotees had the plan to buy a big building. It was a former church, and to buy this building and to make it a temple, or rent it, or I think buy it, or something like this. And then they told Prabhupada about this. And Prabhupada said, first thing he said was, well, why buying trouble? You buying trouble to yourself. It's such a huge place, and then you have to maintain it. Better live simply, you know, chant Hare Krishna, preach. But anyway, let me go and see the place. So they went. Prabhupada liked the place very much. He said, you have to get this place. And then the devotee said, but Prabhupada, why having so much trouble and anxiety about these things, about some bricks? And Prabhupada became angry. He said, you have to take troubles and anxieties for Krishna. So how to understand this? It requires, obviously, the guidance of higher intelligence. Because it sounds contradictory. Prabhupada says one thing, then he says another thing, but actually it is not contradiction. But it's also.
And isn't it also that this over endeavoring is related to the Sabhakya principle again, that we are trying to connect more things that is, you know, all and others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Working hard to get our goals is not
over. Good point. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. And then next, Atihara Prayasha Prajalpa, the favorite thing. So prajalpa means basically things not related to Krishna, topics like discuss the weather, gossiping, karmi siddhis, listening karmi music and watching karmi movies, temple politics, watching TV, internet. There was this famous, anyway, it's just funny, Jayadeva Swami was giving class about, on this particular topic, and he was giving an example with Bharata Maharaj, who was very exalted devotee, but he, because of this deer, he had to take birth as a deer in his next life. And then he asked the question, so what is the deer nowadays in ISKCON? There is the computer, the laptop. This is it plays the same role. So internet, sports, criticizing devotees, kutinati, video games, all these things, useless arguments, arguing about something that doesn't have practical value about, and it's not connected with devotional service. So the result of prajalpa is, first of all, that we waste time, because while talking prajalpa we don't meditate on Krishna. So this, yes.
I sometimes experience devotional prajalpa.
So what is that?
People talk about devotional subjects and devotional actions, but they never get anywhere. They're just, you know, has anybody else experienced this? It's all about Krishna consciousness, but it has nothing to do with Krishna with being Krishna consciousness.
In other words, it's not practical?
Yeah, it's not. It's not going anywhere.
And there is
It's not about getting anywhere. You know, I mean, it's just gossip, nonsense.
Uh-huh. And the result is not, at the end, what is the result? They are not inspired to do devotional service.
More talking. Then they talking. Oh, this devotee said this about that, and then they go to another devotee and said, okay. It's not going anywhere.
Like sense gratification?
Subtle sense gratification, yes.
I mean, not to name names, but we have kind of a debate going in Denmark as to how to translate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think I must have received about 50 mails from devotees going, this could be an option, this could be an option. And it's pretty much the same arguments that just get repeated again and again and again. I mean, there are some who try to be constructive, definitely. Nothing is one of them. But it's just strange. It's like it's camouflaged under the
Yes.
But wouldn't it be that, you know, trying to engage that kind of discussion, you know, discussing mentality and Krishna consciousness would purify it?
If it is, of course, if it is connected to Krishna, it will be purified. Just my concern is, what will be the result at the end of the discussion? Are those who discuss are more inspired to do devotional service practical, or they are just getting more and more into tamas and not doing anything, not being active? Because Srila Prabhupada also said you have to judge by the result. It is kind of Krishna katha, but what is the result at the end? Are we going to do something or just... Because after prasadam we overate and nobody can do anything, so we just keep talking for 2-3 hours after prasadam and then go to sleep. Yes? What kind of pastimes we? You remember which pastime is this? Yeah, I can't recall who was this, but one guru, one sannyasi, he made experiment. He asked the devotees, so how long you can talk about the false ego? As part of the field. You know, it's one of the elements of the field. Okay. And then basically you say 1, 2, 3 sentences and then that's it. Because we don't know much, and also it's not our interest to meditate how to get free of false ego, how to understand that we are not the body. This is not our interest, so we don't know much about this. We think about other things, like what is the last gossip and who married with who. And as Maharaj once he said that very often when the devotee who gives a class, when he says we are not this body, then the devotees, they go, again, you know, we heard this so many times, and they get bored immediately. But this actually proves that they don't think about these things. Because when something is interesting to you, when you meditate on this is something interesting. Oh, I've been thinking about this since, last week, that I'm not this body. So now I can hear something more about this. So that means we're not trying to understand that we're not this body. That's why we're bored. This is not interesting for us. All right. We are getting reminders here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai. Jai.